only have seven penguins to evaluate.
Ronnie asked me to, you know, get him up every morning. So I wake him up and just go back to sleep. So this morning I woke him up twice. He didn't like that very much. I'm going to get that. Remember what I did to you and squirt gun with ammonia in it?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, he and what's his name were snoring, and I was in the same shelter thingy with him. Well, a little bit, maybe.
Depends on where you hit him.
If you get a direct shot, man, I assume it's really cat. Partially blind.
What did you say?
So I think it's really cat urine.
Yesterday we spent all day talking about how you're either led by the Spirit or you're led by your appetites. Everybody understand that? Either led by the Spirit or led by your belly.
You know, it's funny. If you go back and listen to the recording of yesterday's Bible study, no one interrupted. No one asked any questions. It was you that...
That what?
Well, it's like we didn't spend all day because Gary caused a problem or something.
Oh, I know. I wanted to make sure everybody understood it. All right. So again, in verse 12 and 13, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the word sons here is the word huios. And that's fully mature. And so we need to talk for a minute about two things. Elsewhere it says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the letter, it's just the word graphe, but what it means is learning. As long as you are in the position of learning, the only purpose of learning is to bring forth death. And the only, from God's perspective, the evil is when you are afraid to take it, to the learning, to the place of Ecclesiastes. And so you think there, you stop before you get to the end, and you think you've got a plan, or as we've said so often, you narrow the parameters sufficiently so you can prove to yourself that this particular thing that you've learned works. If you extend it, if you extend the parameters, nothing works. Because, I mean, it's obvious. But what we do is we automatically close in so that we can prove anything. You know, I think I've told you before that when I first became a believer, my mother has, as you know, had a rest home for many years. And my initial thought was that the people in the rest home had to be able to see this because, you know, they'd lived their life and they'd seen everything and they knew they were about to die. And so they must have some understanding. So I tried to talk to them, and it was just terrible. And it was, you know, and if you don't remember, I told you before, but the main reading materials that the Rust Home residents wanted wasn't Time or Newsweek or Vanity Fair or Harper's or anything like that. It was the Globe, the National Enquirer, and the Star, which are these incredibly, you know, tabloid, the meaning of tabloid. And it didn't grok. I couldn't understand it until I saw this thing. The older they got, the narrower their world was. Until they had to come up with something, either all of them had conspiracy theories. And it's the same thing I thought. Okay, the person that has to be able to see this are the people that are poor, the homeless. And the homeless is, I'll tell you one goddamn thing, if I were president, this is what I would do. I mean, they've got an answer for everything. All those homeless guys reminded me of Harry. There's one. So the whole thing, it's an act of grace to be able to see that everything is empty. Everything leads only to corruption. And until we see that, all the learning, everything you've ever learned, the purpose of learning is to come to the end, to see death. The purpose of spirit is to raise Jesus from your dead body. Now, until that happens, then you might as well just, the scriptures don't mean anything to you because you're trying to gain self-realization from the scriptures. You might as well go read a comic book. What? You're doing it again.
No. Grokking.
What are you grokking? The wheels are turning. All right, so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, what are these stages? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Start in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, that's the eternal truth. I mean, if you have anything against anybody, then all of a sudden your eyes are blinded. Right? You understand? If there's anybody you haven't forgiven, you're blinded. So here we go. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. First stage. Then he jumps up to the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, teenagers, it says little children here, but it really means teenagers, because you've known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, In Hebrew, there are 8 stages from the infant to the adult. And I won't go through them all now because that's not what we're studying. But in Greek, in this passage here, there are 4 stages. There's darling infant, There's teenager, there's young adult, and there's father or parent. Now, it seems natural that these stages would follow the stages of our own experience. That we'd start out as an infant, that we would eventually get to being teenagers, then we'd get to be young adults, and then finally we'd get to be able to be parents. And you do that by learning and living. But in the spirit, it's exactly opposite. There's no progression in this because the fullness of the Son is already placed into you. So the definition of the darling infant is the one who's just, maybe they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior or something. But the fullness of the Son is already within them. And so the only thing that has to be done is this emptying. And because the process of emptying or the process of sanctification is what reveals the fullness of the Son. So anytime you think that you have to learn something, then you will automatically be deceived. Because the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. Why? Because the fullness of the Son is placed in you. Now that's huge, because that means there's nothing that you have to learn. The only thing that anybody, a teacher, can do is be a witness for that which you already know. You can't possibly study scriptures and learn anything because the fullness of Him is resident within you. Now nobody believes this, unfortunately.
It's like putting a seed in dirt. Seed is complete in itself.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's if you can imagine it, placing the fullness of the Son in you, and it appears to be the same as it is in the natural, that you the seed in the dirt. But in truth, it's simply the tearing away to reveal what's already full and what's already complete. This is why I've said so often about comparing our discipleship as to a hunk of quartz with the gold in it. And then slowly chipping away at the quartz until the gold is revealed. The gold is already resident within you. The highest that you can be is already there. The only thing that has to happen is this chipping away or this emptying process. The unlearning, if you will, of everything you've ever known. So that there's no reference to anything. Anything that you've learned, the scriptures call the traditions of men. And why is it a tradition of men? Because you had to learn it. Everybody grok this? Anybody not see this?
It's funny how, in listening to it, my mind still wants to look for some way to justify progress. And the only thing I can see is the only progress, if any, is not in the seed, but in the dross falling away. So that what is already perfect is clearer. It's like latter rain, former rain, and latter rain. That which was always there now is crystal clear.
Amen.
Hasn't changed.
So this is what not this means. Then back to Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now the spirit of adoption, again, it's adoption is huiothesios. The word adoption means, it's the literal meaning of that is the placing of the fullness of the Son. Probably shouldn't have been translated adoption because you get the idea of, you know, adopting a little kid or something. But the placing of the fullness of the Son. The Spirit's job is to raise Jesus from the dead in you as the earthen vessel. And He doesn't raise Him in stages. You empty or you tear away. And this is why, as long as your mind believes and does all these tricks so that you can have some standing, some sense of entitlement, then you're blinded. Your eyes are blinded.
So I rebellion.
Let's go to Philippians 3 again. Back to Philippians. Paul is speaking in chapter 3. Verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's talking about it from a religious standpoint. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning, now Pharisee there didn't mean a negative thing, because it was the perfect keeping of the law, and if it wasn't kept perfectly, then the sacrifices of the animals and all that other were manifest to make him as innocent, blameless. Ow. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. As long as there's something that's a gain to you, even the understanding of the Bible, even the understanding of anything, whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Now, if you can grok that, then life will become a whole lot simpler.
It's like anything that enhances the quartz just hides the gold.
Right. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, the all things is, it mean the physical things are meaningless almost. The all things are all the traditions of men that you have learned. That's why it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that, or test what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The only good and acceptable of perfect will of God is Jesus Christ. And so the only thing that your life is about is being your mind being transformed so that you no longer ever again lean on the traditions of men for anything. So that in all your ways you acknowledge him. And again, as I said yesterday, you've got to hear this. If it's true that as he is in the world, so are we, then look at this one act of him in the Gethsemane. He knew what was about to happen. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not what I want, only your will. Now, you cannot give me any example in where you're, you know, this crap about, oh, I've got, the God's going to just speak it and come, blah, blah, blah. That's the opposite of the truth. So the only question is, do you desire to be led by the Spirit of God? If you desire to be led by the Spirit of God, then the only option is a constant repentance, a constant leaving all of self, all opinions, all ideas behind, so that you move only in that moment of dependence. And if there's more than one option in anything, you wait, no matter what it looks like. So you wait in him. You live in him because it's Christ in you, and you're crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto you. I'm sure that each one of you can think of some situation you're dealing with today. My advice is stop dealing with it. Is that possible?
We could trade situations. I could take Gary's.
Well, that's what it means. What it means that you pray one for another. Every bear one another's burdens.
I'll take the
accept.
All right, back to Romans 8. No, let's not go to Romans 8. We've got one more place to study. Let's look at Galatians 3. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after the promise, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should appear to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God cut the contract with Abraham, which is still the same covenant that we are operating under now. And he cut the covenant. He put Abraham to sleep. And then he cut the covenant. He walked through the sacrifices. And by walking through the sacrifices, he was confessing that if either party broke the covenant, then he would die. Now, that's what happened. Now it's the fulfillment of the covenant. So the only thing that's left is you, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and your total 100% dependence on him in thought, in word, and in deed, all the time. And again, this one's so hard to hear, but you do everything. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. And again, this is a subtle one, but it's not very subtle when you see it. If you have any investment in the outcome, if you have any care about how it turns out, then you're doing it not as unto the Lord, but unto you. And this will bust your pride and my pride and everybody else's pride to the point, because it's total grace. If there isn't grace, then we die. All right.
Just on this point, it's like that frees you. If you hold an investment in some activity or help or meet need, you're not free. You're cause and effect.
Right. But if I had any concern about how I appear to others, then I can't be free. If I have any concern about whether or not I'm going to offend you or not, I can't be free. If I have any concern about saying the right thing to you, then I don't love you because I'm withholding. And to withhold spiritually means you hate. If I withhold something from you, it means I hate you spiritually. Okay. Verse 21, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, before faith came, or the word came there is it's before faith comes in you, before parousa is revealed in you. And again, remember, all that faith really is Jesus Christ in you believing in the Father. That's the definition of faith. It's not you doing anything except emptying. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until a time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Actually, it says the elements is there. It says literally principles of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, or now the fullness of time for you is come, God sends forth a Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore now thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now the tutors and governors have lost their purpose when you're empty. But if you're the tutors and governors, from your standpoint, are you learning this is how I do this, and this is what I do about that, and this is how I take care of this, then the tutors and governors have to get more and more and more and more. Capisce? So when it says to be led by the Spirit of God is a huge, huge thing. It doesn't mean you're any. There's nothing. There's no merit about it. It simply means that you have left behind everything else. You've divorced yourself from any reference to you or to traditions of men or to your need. You've divorced yourself from need. A little bit.
That's why it's like a race.
What?
Leaving those things behind.
There's my 47th cousin, once removed.
Norwegian spy.
He's a Norwegian spy. He's sitting next to a Swede.
I'm empty. Yeah.
All right. Are you going to do the trip to storage again today?
Yes, we will.
At what time?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? Okay. Will you guys be done by 10? So we'll meet at 10, John? I don't think I can come with you. I can't walk very well. All right.
We won't be done at 10. We start at 9. Probably be back around 10:15 or so.
Okay. Whenever you get back, are you going to go with them?
That's how long it took yesterday.
Okay. Take it, big guy.
Okay. Yeah. We started at 9:20.
We started before 9 yesterday.
I think I was here.